Good afternoon. It's 1:30 p.m., March 5th, 2026. I call this regular meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, joined by my fellow commissioners, Sherry Haugen-Hoffert and Jill Kringsted. So we have a quorum. Before anything else, would you please join me in pledging our allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. And in regards to opening comments, just came back from meetings of the Southwest Power Pool. Not of the whole organization, but a task force that I'm a part of that is dealing with cost allocation of future grid build-out, as well as ideas for cost containment. And we met the last few days in Dallas, got back at 2 o'clock, and so it was useful meetings. I will say that at this point, we spent what was kind of thought was going to be about an hour reviewing the results of a survey that we did before the meeting started yesterday morning to find out kind of where everybody was at on a variety of topics. And that hour ended up taking the whole rest of yesterday's meeting day because it turns out we're all over the board. And they're talking about potentially up to $40 billion of transmission build-out for the fall ITP. So a new allocation plan to be useful really needs to be done in probably the next 4 or 5 months. And so I don't know how it can be done that quickly and be done well. But I will say that the chair, who is doing a phenomenal job, I haven't known her that well. Well, there's co-chairs, but in the past, but man, really doing a remarkable job of trying to do it well, but keep things moving along. And she did bring out what was brought up just on the fringes last December, November, whenever this task force was brought up about, we may have to start meeting more than once a month. So I don't know how that works with our schedule, but I bring all this up to thank you two and our staff and the press that everybody changes from the norm to make something like this possible. I just knew last night we were not going to get back at midnight like we were supposed to. And so I really appreciate the extra time this morning to do last prep and everything and be ready for the meeting. So that concludes my opening comments, Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert.
Thank you. I have several things. The first thing I want to bring up was yesterday, President Trump released that I'm going to read a brief statement. Released that Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, OpenAI, Oracle, and xAI signed the Ratepayer Protection Pledge, agreeing to build, bring, or buy new generation resources that cover the cost of all power delivery infrastructure upgrades required for their data centers, ensuring such expenses are not passed on to American households. I support that. And someone might ask, I mean, when I read this, I'm sure we'll be following it very closely as far as what all this means, especially when it comes to our jurisdiction. Some of the things that I do want to point out that was in the fact sheet, in which we'll be monitoring, or I will be, is under the Ratepayer Protection Pledge, these companies will negotiate separate rate structures with utilities. So if we have jurisdiction over the IOUs, we will be watching that and commit to pay these rates for the power and related infrastructure brought online to serve their data centers, whether they use the electricity or not. The other part is that if they bring their own generation, They'll coordinate with grid operators to make backup generations resources available, contributing to a more reliable grid and preventing blackouts and power shortages in time of emergency. So it won't be completely independent. It will, if it's attached to the grid, we will have jurisdiction. And we've been talking about the true cost of why electrical rates are going up. And it states here in one of the points that the United States is experiencing an unprecedented surge in electric demand driven by rapid technology advancements and an increase in domestic manufacturing. This increase in demand, coupled with existing capacity challenges, places a significant strain on our nation's electric grid. So I feel like we're doing everything to protect the ratepayers, but then in the other sense, too, there's the true cost on why rates are going up and, you know, industrial loads and aging generation. Well, that aging infrastructure is going to have impact on the ratepayers. Someone has to pay for that, and that cost is recoverable. So this, again, I support this, but I think I know that we'll be watching this closely as it is rolled out. The other thing I want to bring forward is this week, on Tuesday, North and South Dakota had their pipeline safety operator training, and I attended it, and I just really want to give kudos to the staff, Caleb, who's here as the manager, and his staff, Lincoln and Brandon, along with Conrad's leadership. This training under PHMSA is required to take place every 3 years. But North Dakota and South Dakota collaborate, and they do this training every year. And they flip, you know, this year was in North Dakota, next year will be in South Dakota. So first of all, we exceed that in the training. And that just shows the importance on why this training is so important. This was for operators, and we had good attendance, and we had people from Oklahoma, obviously North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, several different states. But one of the things that I want to, that was so important that really came across in this training was the collaboration. So we have operators that are doing their job every single day, meeting the requirements that they need to by paperwork, by inspection. And then we have our pipeline safety people that are out there evaluating the work that they do. And it's not just an evaluation, but it's an education. And then we have PHMSA, who then evaluates our work. And they were there. PHMSA was here at the conference. They did a regulatory update regarding the codes. And then John, another gentleman from PHMSA, did a breakout session or to the whole group on construction issues. So it was a complete collaboration from all entities. And then my takeaway, one of my takeaways, was the network and the great work that they do together. The operators working within their company, and they have their own regulatory oversight, then their company regulatory oversight people working with our staff working with PHMSA, and the upward and downward communication. And in talking with some of the people from out of state, where their headquarters are out of state, that's why they were here, is that it's not always in some states like that. So I really want to give hats off to the companies, the operators who want to do a good job, our staff and PHMSA and the collaboration that we have. And going above and beyond and doing these training for everyone on a yearly basis. So that's great. The last thing, we're in Class B tournament time. I have to say it. Rugby Panthers, my home school, made it to state, so I have to say, go Panthers.
Go Bison. Commissioner Kringstad.
He always has to get the last word in.
Thank you. Thank you both for those updates. Commissioner Hagenhoffert, I agree. We are seeing, and I think we're hearing as we're doing our work, that people are concerned about the costs. People are concerned about the growing demand and the impact that this will have. And one of the things that comes to mind for me is, you know, we talk about we may have to build additional infrastructure. At the same time, I think part of that is also looking at and making sure we are getting full use out of the resources that we already have. There's a lot of states, I think, that have been pretty aggressive. Not here in North Dakota, but across the nation, we've seen states have been pretty aggressive with some of their retirement goals on some of their baseload resources. That is having, in my mind, a very concerning impact on the grid. And you know, they're trying to when you look at costs, it's like instead of spending money to build things that are new, are we getting the most that we can out of the resources that are already here? I had the opportunity actually just yesterday to tour the Falkirk mine. And Jay and Troy and Jake Morissette did a fantastic job. And one of the things that we looked at out there is, you know, we watched a coal truck be loaded, and one load of that coal truck can power a home in North Dakota for 17 years. So if you want to talk about having like abundant, reliable, affordable power, like we have it here in North Dakota, and it's something that we've done exceptionally well. And I think our nation would be better off if they kind of took a page out of our playbook. So just really want to thank Falkirk for having myself and some members of our staff out there yesterday. One of the things every time I have the opportunity to go out and visit a mine, the thing that always strikes me is you go to the active pits and you see all the work that they're doing there with the drag lines and everything else. And then you know, drive back to the main building and you say, oh yeah, and by the way, this land here, you know, we mined that decades ago and you would never know that it's been disturbed. So just the work that they do and everything that they're doing to reuse and rebuild and their current machinery, everything that they do with their employees and how they take care of their employees, they take care of the environment, they deliver a needed product that we need, in exactly the right way. So, and then on the Class B side, I will just put in a kudos that I just want to congratulate the New Salem Holsteins. They made it out of the district tournament. So they will play regionals, and we're looking forward to that. And just a shout out and big congratulations to my husband, who was named the district coach of the year by his peers. So really proud of him for that.
Wow, that is impressive. Congratulations, Ben.
Go Hawks.
Hawks. Well, no, I was talking about the Hays and Bison in the same tournament as rugby.
Yeah, good recovery.
I was. Okay, so moving along then, we have three items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those three items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, and then moving into the regular agenda, and if there's not objection, I just want to point something out. One of the consent items that we just approved was some blaster certificates. And the last time we approved blaster certificates, there was a good question, meaning one that I had no idea what the answer to was, of how many current certified blasters are there? And the answer is 64 now. So, glad to revert back to the previous meeting and provide that answer.
64 after we approve the consent agenda. Okay, perfect.
So I move the commission approve revision 4-5 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to identify the next five-year coal removal areas and update mining and reclamation plans and other sections of the permit for the next permit term in Falkirk Mining Company revision 4-5 permit NAFK-8405 application case number RC-25-241.
Second.
So this and the next motion will be about the same permit, and we've done these before. It is a revision followed by a renewal for a refresher. The mine permits are for the most 5 years, and so they have to be renewed every 5 years. As part of that process, we update, do a revision first, and then the renewal. But the numbers don't correspond because in between, other revisions occur. So for this revision, on August 28th of last year, Falkirk, and I'll explain more of the details in this first case, and then unless there's questions, I'll be more brief on the second. On August 28th of last year, Falkirk filed the application for the revision. It identifies the next five-year coal removal areas and addresses items that were identified as requiring updating or modification by our reclamation division during a pre-renewal review of the permit. The revision also updates the introductory, the legal, and compliance information, identification of interests and rights of entry, the geology, the fish and wildlife resources, the operation plans, the extended mining plans, the transportation facilities, the surface water management, and reclamation plans and schedule for this next permit term. Mining and reclamation operations will continue in the existing permit area for many years to come as things look now. The surface and coal ownership information for the permit and the adjacent area and the related lease information was all updated as necessary. The pit layout and facilities map was revised to show coal removal sub-areas through this permit term, and the coal production schedule was updated accordingly. Revision 45 was deemed a significant revision application and was subject to the public notice requirements. And Falkirk submitted the affidavits of publication of the required newspaper notices that were published for four consecutive weeks in the McLean County Independent and the Bismarck Tribune. We notified the appropriate agencies, the affected landowners, and the advisory committee members. There were no technical deficiency comments from advisory committee members received, and we also received no objections or requests for informal conferences for this revision application. There's no bond adjustment necessary because of this revision. Our reclamation division has determined that the total amount of existing bonds, which is nearly $115 million, and that's covering the consolidated bond area, and they've deemed that that's sufficient for continuing operations within all the permit areas. And so the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision application and recommends that it be approved, as do I. I will say, though, that I should point out, regarding that bond amount, is under review for future adjustments, but at this point it's deemed to be sufficient.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move the commission approve renewal 8 to surface coal mining permit NAFK-8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company for the Falkirk Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until April 15th of 2031 in Falkirk Mining Company Renewal 8 permit NAFK-8405 application case number RC-25-242.
Second.
So I'll be a little more brief here because much of the previous information applies. But again, it was August 28th of last year when Falkirk filed the application for renewal for the operations within this permit area, which would extend, as the motion said, until April 15th of 2031. This permit covers all or portions of 30 sections of land, all in McLean County, totaling 13,150 acres. I know a lot of people that aren't in the ag industry don't associate well with acreage. That is more than twice the area of the city of Grand Forks, for perspective. So Falkirk has applied for this five-year renewal because mining and reclamation operations will continue in this permit for many areas. Falkirk submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notice. We notified the appropriate agencies, affected landowners, and advisory committee members. No technical deficiency comments from advisory committee members were received. No other comments or objections to this renewal application were received. Evidence of adequate bond and liability insurance are currently on file. As I said, that is nearly $115 million for the cumulative permit areas. And again, the Reclamation Division has completed its review of the permit renewal and recommends it be approved, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
In my last motion, I move the commission adopt the order in Beck Communications Cooperative, Valley City Exchange, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-25-285. And Beck Communications Cooperative Designated Eligible Carrier application case number PU-25-286.
Second.
So this one's a little more detailed because there's a lot of complexities with these. And on November 4th of last year, Beck filed an application requesting authorization to provide services as the incumbent local exchange carrier, or ILEC, in the Valley City Exchange. And that's case PU-25-285. CenturyLink is the current ILEC. Beck has been operating as a CLEC, a competitive local exchange carrier, till now. Beck also filed an application requesting that they be designated as an essential telecommunications carrier, or ETC, in the Valley City Exchange, and that's case PU-25-286. We're combining these two cases here. So, one, they want to be the incumbent local exchange carrier instead of competitive. Two, they want to be an ETC, and that is to so that they can get federal universal service funding. On November 19th, 2 weeks later about, the PSC issued a notice of opportunity for consolidated hearing that provided until January 2nd for comments and requests for hearing. CenturyLink filed comments on the proceeding suggesting a hearing. Not requesting, but suggesting a hearing was necessary to determine if the commission has the authority to grant incumbent status to Beck. The notice stated, if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. So, the issues to be considered in each of these cases, in PU-25-285, it is the fitness and ability of Beck to provide local exchange services, the adequacy of Beck's proposed services, the technical, financial, and managerial ability of Beck, and whether upon granting a certificate of public convenience and necessity to Beck in the Valley City Exchange, whether CenturyLink's CPCN should be relinquished completely or transferred to competitive local exchange service status. And I want to point out, because, you know, we start off saying that they're requesting ILEC status, and then we're talking about the CPCN. And so it is through the CPCN process that the ILEC would be received. In the other case, in PU 25-286, the qualification of the things to consider are the qualification of the applicant under federal law, the ETC universal support area to be designated, if we do designate, whether it is in the public interest to designate BEC as an ETC in Valley City, and again, that's for the purposes of receiving universal service support, and fourth, whether upon designation of BEC as an ETC in Valley City, whether CenturyLink's designation as an ETC should be relinquished or transferred to competitive local exchange service. So we'll start off with the first one. BEC, I want to point out, holds CPCNs in 18 telephone exchanges in North Dakota already. BEC testified that it's completed 100% of its fiber to the home network in Valley City, completely overbuilt the whole city. They also testified that they maintain a customer service center in Valley City and a 24/7 help desk line. BEC's applications state that they currently provide service to approximately 858 voice lines, which go to 538 wireline subscribers, and 2,609 broadband subscribers in the Valley City Exchange. CenturyLink's comments assert that CenturyLink provided service to only 276 voice lines and only 85 broadband lines in the Valley City Exchange at the end of 2025. So if you combine their numbers, CenturyLink is providing less than 25% of the combined voice lines and barely over 3% of the combined broadband connections. BEC provided testimony and visual aids that highlighted CenturyLink's lack of maintenance of its existing system in the Valley Exchange. CenturyLink filed comments with the commission supportive of the application for designation as an ETC, but that's the next case, so I'll get to that in a minute. But their comments were supportive of that, but they asserted that the North Dakota Public Service Commission does not have authority to grant a provider the status of ILEC. CenturyLink's comments further assert that if the commission should reject, or not if, that we should reject BEC's application for the ILEC or hold a hearing. Well, I will say that, in my opinion, this commission does have the authority under North Dakota Century Code. It's in sections 49-21 and 4903.1. Additionally, this commission has established rules which specify the process required to grant ILEC status within a CPCN proceeding. And these commission rules were first promulgated in 2001 and further refined in 2006. So we have been doing this for decades. CenturyLink's suggestion for a hearing does not rise to the level of a request for a hearing. Their comments assert that the commission does not have the authority to take actions that it has taken for over 20 years or hold a hearing. So it would just be not be a proper application of North Dakota laws and rules. That suggestion must be rejected. Now, regarding the ETC, I think I mentioned earlier, maybe, but if not, I want to reemphasize it. BEC is designated as an ETC for the purposes of receiving universal service support in 18 different telephone exchanges in North Dakota already. And the affidavit of Derek Bulawa of Beck affirms that they will continue to meet the obligations of an ETC in the Valley City Exchange. And Beck also affirms that no waiver of any ETC criteria is being requested. We've done these where there's some small waiver that's done, but they're not requesting anything of the sort. So based on the evidence in this proceeding, if my motion is approved, the commission would find that it is in the public interest that the Valley City Exchange should be included in Beck's rural study area for the purposes of federal universal service support, and therefore be removed from CenturyLink study area. And I know a study area, I'm bringing in another telecom term. The study area is the area for which the universal service support is received for a particular company. And we would also be finding that it is in the public interest that CenturyLink will remain an ETC in the Valley City Exchange as a CLEC, but by remaining an ETC, it does allow them to provide subsidized lifeline service to the customers that remain with them. So the main points of the order, to summarize, Beck's application for CPCN to provide ILEC services in the Valley City Exchange would be approved. Beck would be issued a CPCN number 6019 to provide local exchange services inside Valley City. CenturyLink CPCN for the Valley City Exchange would be transferred to competitive local exchange telecommunications service. The Valley City Exchange area would be relinquished from CenturyLink study area. The Valley City Exchange would be added to Beck's rural study area, and Beck's request for designation as eligible telecommunications in the Valley City Exchange would be granted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
That concludes my portfolio. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Haugenhofer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission Elite Oilfield Services LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-25-65.
Second.
On January 31st of this year, the commission received a North Dakota One call complaint from One Oak. The complaint alleges that Elite Oilfield, with the principal address out of Williston, North Dakota, violated North Dakota Century Code One call by beginning an excavation before receiving notice that all facilities have been located and cleared. So on January 27th, Elite Oilfield provided a notice to the North Dakota One call with work to begin on the date of January 30th to conduct cleanup of a saltwater spill near the intersection of 139th Avenue Northwest and 52nd Street Northwest in Williston, and a ticket number was assigned. On the 28th, One Oak was alerted by the City of Williston that a contractor was in the vicinity of One Oak's 10-inch gas line. The City of Williston employee directed the contractor to stop, and they did. So this case is pretty cut and dry, that they began the work prior to the locate being complete. Therefore, it is a violation of the North Dakota One call. They did say that they did start the work prior. So with that, with the violation, Elite Oilfield is assessed a civil penalty of $500, and they shall remit that $500 civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days. And I support this consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Gringstead?
Thank you. I just have one item. So, believing there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest, and finding the cases involve similar questions of law or fact, I move the commission consolidate for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of filing and notice of consolidated public hearing in Minnesota Power 202.5 megawatt Longspur Wind Project, Morton County, siting application, case number PU-25-304, and Minnesota Power Longspur Wind 230 kV transmission line, Morton and Mercer County, siting application, case number PU-25-305.
Second.
So on December 30th of last year, we received two applications from Minnesota Power. The first was in case number PU-25-304, and that was for a certificate of site compatibility to construct an up to 202.5 megawatt wind project in Morton County. We also, at the same time, received an application for a corridor certificate and route permit to construct approximately a 2.5 mile long 230 kV electric transmission line that is associated with the proposed wind project. And so what this is basically a notice of hearing that we are going to consolidate and hear both of these cases. The hearing for these cases will be on Monday, May 18th at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time at the Glen Olin City Auditorium on Main Street in Glen Olin, North Dakota. There will be three issues that we're going to be considering in this proceeding. First, will the location and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Second, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and efficient use of resources? And finally, will the proposed facilities locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion?
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
I'll just say I've not had much opportunity to get at the details of this application yet, but from the very limited perusal and actually the statistics that are on here of over 200 megawatts and 45 turbines, so clearly well over 4 megawatts per turbine, I think it sounds like will be significantly larger turbines than any of our previously built out wind farms. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest we've had is like 3.4 or 3.5 or something like that, and these are over 4. Should be an interesting day.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
That concludes my portfolio.
So that concludes our regular agenda. We'll, in a moment, we'll recess and take questions from the press. Is there a desire to take a break then before we come in for our admin meeting? Or doesn't look like there's a lot on that agenda, so can we just go right into that
Yes.
after the press?
Yes.
Okay. With that, the commission stands in recess.